thank all of you who are here. It is a great encouragement to me as I am trying to strengthen myself and trying to get to heaven. And I just remembered I need a little clicker thing. In the final days of the Battle of Thermopylae, King Leonidas led 300 Spartan soldiers against 10,000 special forces of the Persian army, called the Immortals. They all died. But they gave the Greek army enough time to escape and to defend, and they eventually won that war. Now, what did these people or these soldiers demonstrate that we can learn from today? You see, they died there and they did not surrender. 301 men against 10,000 soldiers, known as the Immortals. What would you think? They demonstrated a quality of mind that enabled them to face and to challenge this great threat. These soldiers had courage. In the last couple of months, we have seen individuals taking a stand on their moral beliefs. Remember that in August, the CEO of Chick-fil-A stated that his belief for marriage was between a man and a woman. We saw the reaction. We saw the protests. We saw the anger. But yet, when we went to that restaurant, we saw how many people supported this man. This man had courage to stand up for what he believed in. There are countless examples in the Bible of men and women who showed courage. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You'll remember that King Nebuchadnezzar, he built a golden image. And he said, when the music starts to play, you bow down and worship. But listen to what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told King Nebuchadnezzar. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let this be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. They had courage. They had courage to stand firm in their beliefs. Remember Esther. Remember that Mordecai sent a message to her saying, Haman is going to kill all the Jews. Go to the king and beg for our lives. Remember that Esther replied saying, I can't. It's against the law. It is certain death if I go to the king uninvited. But remember what Mordecai said. He said, don't you think that because where you are, you'll escape. Deliverance from somewhere else will come for the Jews. And who knows? Maybe you were put in this position to help us. What was Esther's reply? She said, go and pray. Tomorrow I will get up and I will go to the king. If I die, I die, was her idea. There are also examples of 17th century martyrs. In Fox's Book of Martyrs, I have a couple of examples out of millions that we could have chosen tonight. Giovanni Polhes, a poor peasant from La Tahore, being apprehended as a Protestant by the soldiers, was ordered by the Marquis of Peninsula to be executed in a place near the Covenant. When he came to the gallows, several monks attended and did all they could to persuade him to renounce his religion. But he told them he would never embrace idolatry, and that he was happy at being thought worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. These monks then put into his mind that of his wife and children, who depended upon his labor and would suffer at his deceit, to which he replied, I would have my wife and children, as well as myself, to consider their souls more than their bodies, and the next world before this. With respect to the distress I may leave them in, God is merciful and will provide for them while they are worthy of His protection. Finding the inflexibility of this poor man, you know what the monks did? They cried, "Turn him off! Turn him off!" Which the executioner did almost immediately, and the body, being cut down afterward, was flung into the river. Facing certain death, this poor man had courage. He had enough courage to say, "No, this is what I believe in, and this is why I stand." Another one. Constantia Bellion, a Protestant lady, being apprehended on account of her faith, was asked by the priest if she would renounce the devil and go to Mass. To which she replied, "I was brought up in a religion by which I was always taught to renounce the devil. But if I should comply with your desire and go to Mass, I should be sure to meet him there in various shapes." The priest was highly enraged. He said that he told her to recant or she would suffer cruelly. The lady, however, boldly answered that, and she said that she did not value any sufferings that he could inflict. And in spite of all the torments he could invent, she would keep her conscience pure and her faith pure. The priest ordered slices of her flesh to be cut off from several parts of her body. This cruelty which she bore, she did it in, the author says, singular patience. Only saying to the priest, "What horrid and what lasting torments will you suffer in hell for the trifling and temporary pains which I now endure?" Exasperated, the priest, and willing to stop her tongue, ordered a file of musketeers to draw up and fire upon her, by which she soon dispatched and sealed her martyrdom with her blood. These are all people who stood up against a force that was bigger than them. And they had courage to stand for what they believed. And you know, in this world, all that is necessary for the forces of evil to win is for good men to do nothing. To sit and stay where they are. We live in a society today where evil is abounding and good men are diminishing. But we need to have courage. Remember that CEO. He stood up for what he believed. Now, we need to stand up, not just because of CEO or because of the president. We need to stand up because when we see that evil is abounding, we need to take our stand. How can we obtain this courage? Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. We can obtain this courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and of Esther, because God gives us strength. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18, verse 29. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength, my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Dropping down to verse 3. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, in this I will be confident. We have courage. We can get courage because God gives it to us. Also, we have courage because of the presence of God. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not deal with him also, freely giving us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 12, For you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight. For the Lord your God will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. We have courage because God is with us. Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Remember, Moses has just died. How hard must it have been for Joshua to try and take his place? And look what God tells him. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 21. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. We have courage because God is with us. But we also have courage because we place our faith and trust in the Lord. That is how He can give us courage. But why do we need courage? Because we need courage to defend our faith. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as an evildoer, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. We need courage because we must defend our faith. We need courage because we must resist the devil. Turn to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Remember, God is our shield. We have courage because God is our shield. We need courage because we need to resist the devil. We need courage to live a life of holiness. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, His own special people, that you may be able to proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We need courage. Because when we walk outside today, we can look around and we can see all the evil that is out there. We can see all the abominations that are happening. And we can let that get to us. Oh well, I mean, why should I? Why should I even try? We need courage. We need courage to resist the devil, and we need courage to live a life of holiness. More importantly, we need courage to get to heaven. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Here Jesus is telling us that the way to heaven is difficult. The gate by which we enter heaven is narrow. We need courage because we need to get to heaven. If it's difficult, if the gate is narrow, and we have courage, how can we do this? How can we get to heaven? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. We need courage because we cannot waver. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus is telling us that we shouldn't waver, that we should be strong, that we should not be ashamed. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you a salvation, and that from God. I'm reminded of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Remember that Paul was a preacher of righteousness, but he was also human. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. Paul was just like us. Sometimes we take Paul and we take other people and we sit him up on a little pedestal. But we have to remember that Paul was just like us. He got discouraged. How did Paul endure all these things? Because he had courage. And because he had courage, he did not waver. I'm also reminded of Stephen. Remember, he went in front of the Sanhedrin and he basically told them, "You killed the Son of God." He had to have courage to do that. He had to have courage because he was up in front of rulers and he stood firm. But we need courage because courage is contagious. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death, Stephen's. At this time, a great persecution arose against the church at which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. Stephen's courage was so contagious that even when Saul was dragging men and women off to prison, people scattered and they didn't sit down, do nothing. They preached. They preached the good news. One more example. And that is the example of John. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 14. Starting in verse 1. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting out in the outskirts of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah, the son of Atub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. And the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. The name of one was Bozez and the other Sina. And the front one faced northward, opposite Mishmash. The other faced southward, opposite Gibeah. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord by saving by many or by few." So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you, according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will go and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we will go. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrisons of the Philistines. And the Philistine says, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they have hidden." Then the men of the garrison called up to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you something." Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed him. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within a half an acre of land. And there was a great trembling in the camp and in the field and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there they saw the multitude melting away, going here and going there. Jonathan's courage was his determination to be brave, to go up against a garrison, regardless of whether he lived or died. Remember in verse 6, then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord your God from saving by many or by few." Remember that we can have courage if we place our faith and our trust in God. Here, Jonathan has placed his faith and his trust in God. He knows that with God, anything is possible. Jonathan also had a source of encouragement. In verse 7, so his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you, according to your heart." Jonathan's courage was contagious. Because his armor bearer, seeing that his prince was going up against his garrison, went with him all the way. Courage is contagious. It stiffens men's spines. We saw this in the example of the CEO. How many people, if you had asked them just out on the street, would have done what that CEO did? Would have gone out in such numbers to support this cause. But because one man stood up for what he believed, others were strengthened. Their spines were stiffened. But if you're not a Christian, then you need to have the courage to name the name of Jesus as your Lord and as your King. Because only then will you have the courage like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Esther, the martyrs that we read about in the book. You can even have the courage of Jonathan and his armor bearer. Because when you name the name of Christ, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We all face challenging situations in our life. But remember, there was a young man, kind of my age, named David. He faced a challenge. Remember, Goliath, the giant, taunting the Israelites. Remember what David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to taunt the armies of the Lord?" David went down to the brook. He picked up the stones and put them in the sling. And even though he was facing a giant, a trained warrior, one stone brought that giant down. Because not only did David have courage, because God was his shield. We can be victorious today too, just like David was. Because he had the quality of courage, he was able to stand. Oh, that quality called courage. What a difference it can make. It will rise up deep within you, and the devil's power will break. When the enemy's before you and he's taunting you with fear, that quality called courage will remind you God is near. And with quiet reassurance, his word will let you know that at his presence will be with you no matter where you go. Oh, that quality called courage. It cannot be denied. When the giants of life assail you and defeat is all but implied. So turn your eyes and look at Jesus, not on who or what's around you. And with that quality called courage, watch those giants come tumbling down. And it seems like the darkness has won. When it seems like all is lost, we must answer the call. We must be strong and courageous. And we must remember that God will be with us wherever we go. If anyone here has the courage to put on the name of Christ today, do so, please, as we stand and as we sing.
The courageous shall the Lord rise up for.